Good evening. What's that?
God, you're not easily distracted, are you?
Funny hell!
It's a lid to a bottle.
Okay, just check.
Any more inanimate objects you need me to describe for you?
Sassy, isn't she?
Founders Ramble. Stories from entrepreneurs, how they started, why they started, and where they're going next. Brought to you by the Ministry of Startups.
Hello and welcome to Founders Ramble 4. This is Vinnie White. Every couple of weeks I go to the pub. And, well, actually every night I go to the pub, but every couple of weeks I do something slightly more productive than just talking about pool tables and boobs.
You work at the pub.
Yeah.
That's it.
This is work, or if you can call it that. I am joined with Laura from Club Soda, a member of the wonderful place that is the Ministry of Startups. And Alex. Hello, Laura and Alex.
Hello.
Hi.
Elliot's here as well. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Where's Ben?
On his way to Lisbon.
Actually went. Did he go on a bicycle like he talked about, or did he go the
No, he's trying to catch a flight. He left at 1:30 for a 3 p.m. flight.
From Stansted?
From Stansted.
That's almost definitely not going to happen.
5 minute walk, 45 minutes Stansted Express.
Good luck, Ben, if you're listening to this.
From Stansted, you haven't made it, mate.
Every couple of weeks we come to the pub and we talk to various founders. The idea of this, in case you're wondering, is other people can be inspired by your pitfalls, your mistakes, and indeed your achievements. I know, the heat is on. Now, Laura is going to be a piece of piss for you, because almost every day I wake up and being the wannabe intelligentsia that I am, I put on Radio 4, and you're on it quite a lot. So actually, this should be a walk in the park.
We've been on the media a bit recently.
Yeah, I was listening to Woman's Hour the other day, which I presume isn't exclusively for women.
No.
Yeah.
I would involve a piece of technology that might be a bit invasive, but they're too busy being sanctimonious, so...
Oh, quick dig there.
I obviously want to be on Woman's Hour again.
Laura runs a company called Club Soda, and you run it with two other co-founders, UC and Andy. And unlike most of the times I come in here, I know you, because you're quite a chirpy...
You're going to have to be careful here.
She's gone.
Moving from Women's Hour to calling me chirpy. What next, darling?
Anyway, Laura's very personable and very gracious.
I think what you mean is I talk a lot.
She loves a natter. She loves a natter. And often you can find her in the kitchen cooking sausages. So she makes herself known quite well. That's how I bumped into you a few times. And here she is today, Laura from Club Soda. Right, what does Club Soda do? Let's get cut through.
Well, we're a mindful drinking movement. So we do a number of things. We help individuals change their drinking habits, which some people want to and some people don't. Currently, I notice I'm with people who aren't that worried. So that's fine. We should
point out that 3 out of the 4 of us got beers, and Laura has a...
I've got a Square Root Half Cheeky Shandy, which is a collaboration with the local brewery Pressure Drop, which I really like.
Percentage of alcohol?
0.5%.
Good stuff.
So so we help individuals change their drinking habits. We work with companies doing their wellness programs to do similar. We have a pub guide of good pubs for mindful drinkers. And this summer we ran the first ever mindful drinking festival, which went a bit awesome. Mindful drinking is a phrase that came about a little bit by accident. We built the pub guide, which we launched in January, which gives pubs a score out of 5 for how good they are for mindful drinkers, which means that if you decided you're not drinking tonight for whatever reason, that pub has got some decent other drinks in for you, so you're not going to have to die by drinking a pint of lemonade or Coke.
On my no booze days, there are always orange juice and Coke, both of which I don't really like.
A, it's not breakfast, and B, I'm not 5.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah, so, and they often give you a little straw, don't they? Yeah. Do you want a slice of lemon? No, I want to go back to booze. You're making me do it.
Actually, that's true. And also, the pubs can spend a lot of time telling you which brewery with which water a particular beer was brewed from. And then they go, oh, you're not drinking. How about a really crap Coke out of a hose?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You should take the piss and go, whereabouts did you source the syrup? For this Coca-Cola, I've never heard of such a thing.
So for me, it's saying to them, if you're really going to go the whole hog and treat your customers well, what about those 1 in 7 customers not drinking? Anyway, mindful drinking came about by accident because I wanted to call it a pub guide for healthier drinkers. And the guide's about low and no alcohol, so beers under 3%, wines under 8%, as well as 0.5% and below drinks. Mm. And because it talks about alcohol, you're not actually allowed to use the word healthier by law. And whilst I'm happy getting in trouble, as people may know, I didn't want to get the pubs in trouble, and so I didn't want to put them in a position where they might be claiming to be a healthier pub when they're not. Or by law, I believe they're healthier, but you know. So we used the word mindful in January, and it really stuck because everyone can see their own goal within it. Yeah. And it hasn't got a horrible word with it. It's actually quite a positive word, being mindful about your drinking. And so we used it for the festival, and it was great because we had everybody from people who are Muslim through to people who are pregnant, through to people who have cut down, people who just want to find some really exciting low sugar drinks, because nearly everything at our festival was lower sugar. And so it suddenly became this amazing melting pot of like 2,500 people of all different backgrounds, showing that actually things are changing a bit.
So let's rewind to the beginning days of the company, because here we are having a mindful drinking festival. But when did it start?
It started, so I gave up drinking 5 years ago now. I was really good at it. I'd have had you under the table by now with drinking the beers. I decided to give up drinking. But what I realised is there's tons of stigma around changing your drinking in this country. And most people don't need any health intervention. We just need something a bit like, you know, a Slimming World or Weight Watchers, but with booze, something to help us do our own self-guided journey to change our drinking. Because there's a big difference between those of us who are over-drinking and people who are dependent drinkers. Mm. And so I wanted to create something that wasn't sanctimonious, didn't tell people what to do, but helped people achieve whatever goal they've got around drinking. And so that's where Club Soda started and where the core of what we do is, really, which is that, you know, if you want to change your drinking, we can help you do that. We can give you the advice on how to deal with persistent mates, where to go to the pub.
By persistent mates, do you mean, oh, come on, John, don't be such a girl, yeah. Have a tequila, it's Wednesday.
Oh, you're not so much fun now you're not drinking, go on. Oh, we can't possibly go out if you're not drinking, all that sort of stuff.
All the squeaky door. We really need to bring a can of WD-40 one day.
They might like it if we start doing repair.
Is that for you? Is that for you or for the door?
You are a feisty one, aren't you? Yeah.
That's another word they wouldn't let you use on Women's Hour.
Mm. And Britain's got a particular problem, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in a very alcocentric society. So, you know, everything we do has got alcohol around it. We're taught to deal with every emotion with alcohol. But I think for me, the really important thing is if you look at the whole area of health startups and health tech, everything, you can do everything. You can have an app that will make sure you do 10 sit-ups every morning, or an app that will help you go sugar-free.
Yeah.
Actually, the area of changing your drinking aligns with all of those, because you're more likely to do 20 sit-ups if you are not hungover. But also, it's somewhere, changing your drinking is stuck somewhere in 1950, both in its language, both in its terminology, and its lack of use of technology. And I would go, well, you know what? We can use tech to do this. This is a big market. People want to pay to get some support to change their drinking. There's tons of loads of unethical stuff out there that will promise people the cure for their drinking, which is utter bollocks.
Like what?
Oh, hypnotherapy, courses where they'll stick you in hypnotherapy for 10 weeks for a grand. All a load of bollocks. Because at the end of the day, you can shut yourself away, you know, and do hypnotherapy for 10 weeks, but you still have to go out in the real world. And our real world's got alcohol every time you turn around the corner.
Yeah. Were you an alcoholic?
There's no such thing as a definition of alcoholic, but I wasn't a dependent drinker. I didn't even drink every day. There's all sorts of tests you can do. I have something quite in common with quite a lot of women, which is my off switch broke when I was about 35. So while I didn't drink every day, I couldn't stop once I started drinking. And I was in a really boring job that made me just so depressed that my drinking escalated during that time.
So I can see the need, and I can see where it ended up, this festival and all the other stuff that you do.
Yeah.
But where did it start? I'm still struggling with that.
So I then decided that I wanted to create Club Soda, which was that sort of Weight Watchers Slimming World, but with alcohol. So we run courses to help you moderate your drinking or take a month off drinking. We have a big online community, and on our website you can set your goals and track your progress.
Mm.
So exactly what you'd expect in health tech, actually, which is, you know, and behaviour change, which is, you know, you set a goal, you track your progress, you get advice on how to do it, you talk to others doing the same thing, and if you need a bit more help, you upgrade your membership to get a lovely daily email with, you know, a video from me on it. Yay!
Laura, from Club Soda, that is a movement, a force to be reckoned with. And for those of you listening that are thinking, yeah, I'm pretty damn sure that insert my drink here can't be replaced with a non-alcoholic version that's any good, I used to think that, and I think you were quite right to think that in the past, particularly with, you know, beer used to be replaced by Caliber and stuff like that. I've tried some of the drinks that Laura knocks around with, and they're really genuinely nice, particularly, although it's quite badly named, a milkshake stout, that one?
No, it's a chocolate milk stout.
See, that sounds awful. It was really nice.
I think he's just changed it to stout now.
Good, it's chocolate milk. It's got nothing chocolatey about it.
You can taste the cocoa nibs and all that sort of stuff.
Mate, we're not all flouncing around with descriptions. It tastes more like Guinness than a bar of chocolate. It should be called non-alcoholic Guinness, but I think there might be a trademark issue.
Well, actually, Guinness have done a non-alcoholic Guinness for a long time, but they only sell it in the Caribbean, and I think they're about to introduce it.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Because Afro-Caribbean community drink a malt drink, which is basically a non-alcoholic stout. And if you ever go to a Cash and Carry in London or a corner store in somewhere like Finsbury Park, you'll find super malt.
Yeah.
It's basically what it is.
Or malty malt, there's a few of them.
Yeah, malty malt. Yeah. But if you...
Is it good?
Yeah. It's not as good as Big Drop Stout. Big Drop Stout just took part in the World Beer Championships.
Is that the one I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And it
Big
won,
Drop Stout.
Big Drop Stout took part in the World Beer Championships and it got second place against Full Strength Stouts.
Get in. So there's proof in the drinking.
But you know, there's another thing that technology's changed, which is why they can produce better beers. And so.
But why did Guinness not release their alcohol-free version?
Because they didn't think there was a market here, but now the market.
Not that it would cannibalise anything else, but because they thought there would be no demand.
Yeah, they thought there'd be no demand in the same way as Heineken never did. But because alcoholic drink sales are stagnating, alcohol-free drink sales are zooming. The truth is an alcohol-free beer is the healthiest thing you can drink in the pub next to lemonade. So next to water, sorry. So it's actually
not lemonade.
So it's actually not just an alternative to beer; it's an alternative to lemonade, Coke, and all those things as well. It's 26 calories a bottle, no added sugar.
Is that around the 0.5% mark as well?
It's 0.5. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you tried any of these?
Yeah, there have been a few bottles knocking around the office.
Come and see me. I'll slip you a bottle.
We work in a shared working space, and because of the festival and other events that you run, you sometimes got these low alcohol, alcohol-free drinks knocking around. And I may have pinched a few.
Might you?
They taste good.
I like the way, when you knock them out, you sound like some sort of Fagin character from Oliver Twist that's peddling drugs, but you're actually peddling goodness.
I know, it's like I call my, because I've swapped my drink habit for a 60 quid a month tea habit. And I have a tea dealer. We swap packets at the tube. We swap packets at the tube station. I recommend my dealer to anybody. He's very good. And in fact, I'm going to get him in. And so I love all of that. I love really subverting all of that language. Yeah, and I love going, here you are, love. Take one of these away with you. Take a bottle of this away for you. Don't drink it all at once.
when Vinny thinks Laura's making sausages, she's actually making matcha.
Yeah. Mostly making matcha.
She's making matcha. She makes it in a bowl with a whisk.
I know, I've seen it, and it looks absolutely fucking repulsive.
Yeah, but
it's bright
look
green.
How healthy I
it looked, do you remember Noel's house party? Yes, I'm 96. do you remember the slime that they used to throw over people?
Yeah.
That's what your matcha looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like ectoplasm.
Oh yeah, you're going to start going on about emu and Rod Hull's windmill things with grot bags. And
yeah, poor old Alex. How old are you, Alex?
26.
Yeah, this is, we're older than you.
We had to watch TV when it was on, and like with the adverts.
Four channels and Telefax, I remember that.
Joel's house party before all the, you know, child paedophilia. We used to go up.
I don't think Noel's been a paedophile.
No, but David Travis was in it.
I think we need to clean that one up.
You're going to edit that back out?
Yeah. Just for the record, he's one of the few older BBC workers that hadn't little children. Yeah, I think that's got us out of that one. Right, moving on. We've been ignoring you and we can't do it anymore. Alex from Aptivism. As you said, you work in the same space, the co-working space that is the Ministry of Startups with Laura, but you don't do anything non-alcohol or indeed alcohol related. What is it that Aptivism does?
No, in short, what we're trying to do is make it easier and more effective for you to communicate with government.
Okay, so at the moment, if I have someone that's doing something naughty on my street, I probably go and see my MP. Is that about to change?
It should. You should probably be calling the police. Yeah. Depending on what they're doing, that's naughty.
That's why my street is the murder capital of London. No, I suppose my point was if something's been moved or reorganised, that not in a criminal way, if someone consistently parks, I don't know, all the reasons, there's a million reasons I might need to speak to
there's government. There's a tea dealer.
Yeah, tea dealers dodging around.
Yeah, well, I can't speak from experience about what you might talk to your MP about, because, and this is part of the reason why we set this up, I've never written a letter or sent an email to an MP. Sorry.
I was a candidate in elections as well, so I know exactly what MP
did. There we go. But, yeah. Well, we know there are a few things. One, we know that MPs are being bombarded with things that are either not pertinent to them or come from a niche section of the population. And they have these clinics or town hall meetings where they usually speak to people either as a large audience where you collect a few opinions across one matter, or you get them in a line and you speak to them one at a time and you get only a few opinions through. And both of those things are quite inefficient.
Yeah.
Now, if you do feel so motivated to write a letter, you may send that off, but responsiveness can be quite low, and there's no requirement for the MP to show that there's some action back to you.
Yeah.
Now, we started this company, which has since formed into something that produces chatbots, which is like an automated conversation over Facebook Messenger.
Chatbots. An automated conversation over Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, have you ever tried to book...
Binny's tech knowledge is...
my idea for all this
considering he's insured it, his technology... we had issues with the Oculus Rift or the Oculus... He couldn't you've get had, his head around the Oculus Rift.
Yeah. I literally couldn't get my head around the Oculus Rift.
He could not get his head around.
It's
he
too
could,
big.
He couldn't get his head
in
the Oculus Rift.
So, do you use Facebook Messenger?
No.
Or WhatsApp?
Can I just make the point that my lack of technical knowledge is also shared by many of the listeners?
No, it's a benefit. But I'm making sure Alex explains it for you and therefore for a load of listeners who I don't think are as
thick
as you.
So basically you're here to act as a translator? Yes. Okay.
My policy with not understanding technology is to say the same thing they've just said to me, slightly slower back at them, and then just wait, which is kind of what I'm doing here. So, automated chatbots that speak over Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, instead of talking to your friend, you're talking to a robot.
Okay, that makes me slightly uncomfortable because I'm already slightly removed from my friend on Facebook already, but there must be method in this madness. How is this going to be implemented to help Mrs. Miggins, who wants to contact her MP about planning permission issues on our street?
Well, it's already being implemented. Instead of it being a direct channel of communication with your MP, which is the eventual goal, it's currently being used as a consultation tool in Jersey, the island off the coast of France. Mm. And there, the robot, which is what you're speaking to over Facebook Messenger, is programmed to talk to you about things like community living or environment, and shortly, maybe by the release of this podcast, tax. And the idea is over a series of these conversations, which happen about a month apart, so it's not burden you and interrupt your daily life, we get your opinions on these sorts of things, feed that data back into government so they can make a decision, and then we take their actions, which are the results of those conversations, and the data, and give it back to you, the user. And so we start this this constructive feedback loop where government starts to be responsive to your communication.
Can we face up? Is the chatbot asking you questions and leading the conversation?
Correct.
So it's not saying, is there anything that I want you or that you would like to change? It's asking you questions about different topics and leading the conversation. So it's not open. It's not, is there something?
And I think I went off on the wrong tangent when I...
It could be, but it's not... Is anything bothering you? And they say there's a building at the bottom of the street.
Some of the questions that we've used in the consultation about community living, for example, have been things like, is there anything that you want to change about the island in terms of charitable organisations or community events, etc.? And we collect from that free text opinions. Yeah. And we can...
But it couldn't necessarily respond to that and go, oh, you really want, you know, more parks for people with left hands only or something, and then you can't, you know, it doesn't
think
respond
of the climate
to that.
Present. That's going to be tricky.
Yeah, but it's a consultation method, so it's another way of collecting survey data.
If you say something I don't understand, I'm going to say sorry, I don't understand, and repeat the question.
Yeah. I probably didn't help you at the beginning by giving the example of a planning situation, because it doesn't sound like that's the sort of thing that's going to be coming up anytime
soon.
Well,
you may have heard about things like this. There's an app in Brazil which is being used that allows people to report potholes and report things that are in the local area that bother them. Mm. And the way that works is it's app-based and you've got a form that you submit, and then that communication is shared with someone who can do something about it. Mm. And what we're trying to do on Facebook Messenger is have something which is very easy to get to. You don't have to download an app. It's one link you click on Twitter or wherever you might see this link. It takes you straight there. And there's something that can re-engage you very quickly. So on your Facebook Messenger, I can talk to you about your pothole issue eventually when we've got the artificial intelligence to support that conversation. But then a month later or a week later, if I've got something I want to come back to you with, I can do that instantly and engage you in the second round of consultation.
So, for example, thanks for letting us know about the potholes. We fixed them. Are you happy with the quality of fixing that we've done?
Exactly.
And so it goes on. Now, one of the biggest frustrations that anyone living in the modern world, i.e. all of us, will face is that when you phone your bank, when you phone your internet service provider, when you phone your girlfriend, in my case, you get through an automated system and you have to press a series of buttons, and very rarely does it actually understand what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And very, it can become far more frustrating. And what we've all noticed is in more recent years that everything pushes you onto the net. You walk into a shop and give them a CV, not interested, you use our website. And it's very much a 21st century fob off, and it pisses me off because I don't want to live my life on the net. I spend enough time of it on there. I keep being thrown back there for every form of personal administration. The last thing I need when I'm trying to speak to a human being is to go through this channel. Yeah. Although I do appreciate the efficiency is going to be far better, and it's not a case of who shouts the loudest, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, certainly with writing to MPs, it has been very much who writes the most and who's upset the most gets things done. I like the sort of democratisation of what you're saying, but what worries me, and I'm sure what worries you, is that it could just lead to more people's frustration if it's not done correctly.
Yeah, we're not advocating using this exclusively for doing any sort of democratic exercise. I think the idea is that you use this tool in a toolbox that sort of gets at everyone, and it can be inclusive in that
way. Got it.
So I completely agree.
Are you the guy that's writing the code that is designing the bot? Are you designing a robot? I sound like a grandmother when I ask these questions?
Oh, you're all right.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, so it's up to you. That's quite a responsible job for you. It's up to you to aggregate all the data and manage to pull it out from all the comments that you get, as well as asking the questions as well, right?
Yeah, this becomes tricky when it's a free text opinion, because there you've got the possibility of two people looking at the same written answer to a question, but coming up with very different inferences about what that means.
Yeah.
And to resolve that issue, we don't look through the free text and parse with an R, parse what those things mean. Instead, we provide those free text comments row by row to whomever we're working with. So in the case of Jersey, the civil service there.
Yeah.
Through the chat, we also feed back to you what other people are doing. So when we say, we tend to lead our chats with a series of facts, because before we get to the opinions and questions, we want to make sure that you've got a ground level of understanding about the issue that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So we send you a fact, something like, did you know that 70% of the island of Jersey is green space? And you say yes or no or whatever. And I can say, well, actually, you're in the minority. Most people didn't know. Or you're in the majority, and most people didn't know. And as a designer of this thing, along with my co-founder and the team inside Civil Service, this does present a challenge.
How big is your team?
Two.
Yeah.
There are two of us. And we work with Civil Service to make sure that what we're putting out is relevant to them. And then we do an iteration of sort of trials with closed groups of users to work out that it's, you know, it's useful to them and engaging. Mark Zuckerberg set out 6 goals for his company. Obviously, he's dominated the marketing world. I think in the first quarter of this year, they made about $3.6 or $3.9 billion dollars in profit.
Right.
He sort of set out these 6 goals of saying, well, actually, now what we're going to do is focus on communities, focus on bringing people together and having this democratic system that works well. But what we're essentially doing is using the platform that they've made open, Facebook Messenger, to achieve one of their goals, which is to make communities more cohesive and bring people together.
Yeah.
And they recognize this. And so we're working together now to sort of shape the tool to make sure it works well and to maybe take it to other markets.
Got it. That makes sense.
And actually, you wouldn't let the civil servants be in charge of the advertising, because actually you want to be able to tailor that advertising, and you could probably do it better than the civil servants, to be honest, in terms of hitting the right demographic and using Facebook properly.
Yeah,
and not wasting the money on it.
I completely agree.
And the technical stuff, linking to the right place.
Yeah, yeah.
Not linking to the wrong page and wasting all your money.
The stories I could tell. you're absolutely right, but this doesn't work if Simon and I have to do this every single time there's a constructive democratic chat going.
You might need to employ some staff as you grow to do some of that.
I'm not sure that's the solution. Instead, what we've been doing with Jersey is working closely with the teams that want to have these conversations with people. And as we've been iterating the design, going out to people and seeing what works and what doesn't, we've been sharing that knowledge. And so hopefully at some stage we can give them this tool, and inside their organisation they've got the knowledge to iterate and to do good marketing. And I think, I mean, at the end of the day, we're building a tool to improve communication between government and people, which is something that government should have the capability to do themselves.
Yeah.
So the long-term goal must be that they've got a tool to do this. It may not be ours, maybe someone else's, and the know-how to make it really effective.
And that's where you come in at the moment.
Yeah.
How did you meet your co-founders, Laura?
I met my co-founders on OkCupid. Where did you meet yours? You don't have any co-founders. Oh, sad.
Well, what I'd like, I like many things about what you said, but I like the fact you passed it on to old Vin. Let's just go back there for a second. You've got two co-founders. Well, there's three. You're one of them. There's two others, Usi and Andy. You met them both on...
OkCupid.
Sorry, I thought that was a dating site.
It is.
Oh, because you made it sound like it was a find other business colleagues site. What were you doing?
I was dating them and having a jolly good time.
Both of them?
Yeah, at the same time.
And now you've managed
were
to...
Were they
go...
dating each other as well?
No, but we'd go for dinner together and stuff. It was nice.
What? Is this true? I want to ask if this is true. I mean, you,
yeah.
You look very sincere.
Go and ask Usi.
No, I'm just... No, what do you mean you should go for... I definitely won't, because that's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you go to Man A and you say, hiya, you look a nice chap on the internet. Come and meet for dinner. You have a dinner with Man A. You do the same with Man B a different week. Nothing wrong with that. It's all fine. Then it's that point
where...
There
were a few other people scattered in there.
Brilliant.
As well.
Okay, there's Man C and
there's
Man D.
Woman D and Woman B as well. You
okay.
Know.
Elephant F.
No, I don't date animals.
Let's not bring that into it. So you then say, okay, Man A and Man B, why don't we all get together, have dinner and set up a company? All right.
No, the company came a little bit later, but yeah, we're all friends.
That's
and,
incredibly mature.
When I stopped seeing Andy regularly first, but after what happened was as Andy started helping me with the business first of all. So Andy says, oh, well, I'll help out to start with. So he started. At that point in time, Usi was trying to escape from the world of banking. And so he became my other co-founder. So it all happened quite naturally. We've all got the right skills to bring to it. Amazing. Oh, well, apart from the skills of asking for money. That's the one that we're really bad at. But otherwise, we've got great skills.
did you start your business by dating your co-founder, Simon?
Tinder. No. No, we worked together for 2 years in... consulting company that spun out from Cabinet Office.
Yeah.
Started off at number 10, and its remit was to apply behavioural science to public policy design.
And are so you have you got a politics background?
No, I've got a data science background and a bit of a behavioural economics background.
And Simon?
He's more in foreign policy.
And also was a pilot.
He's also a pilot.
Wow.
Yeah. He went for a curry with a friend of his, and she was lamenting about how the Brexit result didn't go away, and she wanted to lobby her MP effectively, but felt powerless to do so. And after a series of weekends, having noodles and all sorts of other stuff, we devised a way to change that.
And that was where the idea was born?
That's where the idea was born.
The circle! Bit much. The Ministry of Startups is where you work, and that's where I work, and where Elliot has the proud job title of being...
Ben's carer, we'd say.
Ben's cleaner.
That's how I describe
I put his toys away.
Yeah. And try and stop him ordering more.
Yeah.
But we all work there.
You're not banned him from Amazon yet.
No. No,
eBay.
That needs to be
eBay.
We all work there in one capacity or another. So here's my question to wrap up. Whoa. Ministry of Startups. How would you describe the Ministry of Startups?
It's all gone quiet.
Silence doesn't come through well on the radio, but you can edit this out, right?
Yeah. He was dead silent for
dead
nearly
silent.
3.5 hours.
Yeah. Bottom floor, one of the sections of the building. Great work in there, but the most, and I say this sincerely, the most impactful part of being there isn't so much being in the BGB space, but coming out into that tiny little area. Where you've got the door that lets everyone through into the tea area, you've got the little lounge area there. Being in that space, communicating with you guys and sort of being around all the activity, it makes all the difference. You feel the community there.
Hmm.
And that, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's just like WeWork. That's what I meant to say, isn't it?
Oh no!
That is, was too nice and not that funny. It's not what I wanted. we had one of the French guys from the other building say, "We work next to train spotting."
I like that one. So I'm actually very proud of the fact that you've taken buildings that will be knocked down at some point to provide affordable space. And I think that the businesses are just as valuable to be in those spaces as property gardens who might sleep in a property overnight. I mean, I do come from a politics background, so I can see where all of this fits into a bigger picture. But for me, when you're a really early stage startup, the less you can spend on the roof over your head and the desk under your computer, the more you've got to innovate with. And that's incredibly valuable. So Ministry of Startups being able to secure these spaces, to be able to get them up and running and manageable without actually whacking on loads and loads of extra costs, is far more important than whether you've got, you know, some fancy Swish app that books your rooms and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's because every penny counts when you're a startup, and you can be very resourceful with what you have. And one of the things that means that Ministry of Startups is better than many other startup spaces, because we're all trying to do a lot or very little, it means that the sharing culture is a lot stronger. Because if we can help each other out, we can. Because one thing you do have is your ideas and your time and shared resources, whether it be a laminator or a print or stuff like that.
That doesn't mean she shares a matcha.
I don't share my matcha. But, you know, it's that sharing that becomes more important. Whereas actually, if you do sit in WeWork, you sit in your cubicle, there's no incentive to share.
Having you, Elliot, and Ben, the minister, sort of in that
oh, now I want to get my dog collar now. Is
that, we've been getting one collar. If he got that. He didn't win the church. But if he had bought the church, we'd have got the dog collar.
You're very hands-on. I went into a WeWork once. It's cold. And you've got these nice little glass boxes where you sit in and you do your work. It's very, whatever. The people who run the space are sat behind these reception desks.
Yeah.
And it's very formal. But with you guys, you've got this hands-on management, which means that whilst you're...
Management's quite a big word for it.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. Maybe you don't. But you're managing the space at the same time as being like inside the space and in the community, actively talking to people and connecting people. I went to the minister with an idea and was like, is there anyone in this building doing anything remotely similar? And it's like, yeah, there's a person on the top floor, a person on the second floor, and they're doing things tangentially related, go speak with them. Hooked me up and I went and did that.
Is he known as the minister to
Why
a few
do you
people?
Quite, I don't call him minister.
Yeah, he was so persuasive when he told me, but you just call me minister, everyone calls me minister.
No one calls, no one calls him minister.
He's starting that.
Only you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks very much.
Yeah. What was he doing while he said that?
Moving his mouth, vocalising his thoughts.
Is that before or after he decided he was definitely a millennial?
Laura from Club Soda, what's your website? Where can people find out about you and your wonderful business?
joinclubsoda.co.uk.
What's that?
joinclubsoda.co.uk.
And yourself, Alex, from Activism, if any governmental bodies or any other mother, for that matter, decides they want to get involved with hiring and you designing a web chat bot for Facebook chat that can collect data.
You should really not try and summarise somebody else's business.
I honestly think
it's alright. It's alright. When he doesn't understand it.
I think I'm getting away with it, am I? Did I get away with that?
I dropped off.
did you work that if you added enough words that was technical sounding would hit, one of them would be right?
A million monkeys with a million typewriters. Cheese, biscuits, stop me when I'm right, is it? Right, I'm going to summarise your fucking business and I'm going to get it wrong.
Excellent.
And you're going to correct me.
Brilliant.
Alex works for Activism. It's really good. What do they do, Vinny? Oh, let me tell you. They design web bots that live in... go with it. Live in Facebook chat, right? These little computer robots... just collating data and sending out questions that can be used in politics in all levels of government, particularly on Ireland, south of England.
Sure. I'll go back to the office, I'll pivot. That sounds great.
Can you describe what you do if I was stuck in an elevator with you and we knew that there was the doors are about to open?
We make it easier for you to talk to many people at once, gauge their opinions and represent them in the House of Parliament.
Through Facebook?
Through Facebook.
Smashed it.
So if you want one of those, if you want to be able to represent, come over, send me an email, alex@aptivism.org.
Next time, we're going to get someone clever and a stuffed animal, just for balance. but thank you very much, both of you, for coming in. It's been a pleasure. And we will see you next time on the Ministry of Startups Founders Ramble. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Founders Ramble. Stories from entrepreneurs, how they started, why they started, where they're going next. Brought to you by the Ministry of Startups.